22. And as you're turning to Genesis chapter 22, I'd like to have you take a short quiz on what we've been looking at these last few Sundays. So if you will take out your mental pencils and look at the screen, we'll see how we all do with some multiple guess questions. All right. Number one, God promised Abraham land, blessing, descendants, all the above. How many think it's A? B? No? C? D, right? We're on D. Okay, let's see. Survey says D, all of the above. Good. Okay, number two. Abraham told the Egyptians that Sarah was his wife, sister-in-law, sister Lot's wife. You going for C? Ooh, you guys are good. Okay, C, look at that. Wow, okay. Number three. Confronted with a seeming lack of grazing land, Abram decided to move back to Egypt, let Lot choose where to graze, make a treaty with Abimelech, move his flocks to the Jordan River Valley. Oh, some discretion here. A? Anyways for A? B? B? C? And D? Okay, survey says B. Let Lot choose where to graze. Of course, he might have grazed his flocks there too, but that's another issue. Number four. The name Abraham means, a little tougher now, exalted father, father of many, father of Ham, blessed of God. A? How many for A? B? Some of you guys are waiting to see what everybody else chooses, aren't you? Survey says B, father of many. Okay, number five. When Isaac was born, Abraham was how many years old? 89, 90, 99, 100. How many go for, let's say, which one? D? B? C? Survey says D, 100. Okay, you guys doing okay with all this stuff? Yeah? Okay, we got one bonus question here, right? Here's a chance to redeem yourselves. All right, bonus question. When Abimelech and Phicol confronted Abraham, Abraham followed plan A, plan B, plans A and B, plan A, but he held out an option for plan B. What do you think? How many say A? B? Any for D? I kind of like D myself, but anyway, that's not correct. Let's try. Survey says plan A. Right on. Good, 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 good. How'd you do? All right, plan A is always what? Trust God, right? Plan A. Always go with plan A. All right, you love taking tests? Good stuff? We've been looking at Abraham and the lessons of faith he learned as he lived life with God. What God taught Abraham about trusting him through the times when Abraham was strong in his faith and the times that Abraham messed up in his faith. And coming to chapter 22, we're going to look at a huge test of Abraham's faith. And if this isn't the final exam, it is pretty close to it. It is a major portion of Abraham's grade. His grade about faith depends on what he does here in chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 1. And verses 1 to 8, by the way, focus on the test. Okay, try that together. The test. All right, God's testing of Abraham's faith. Verse 1. Now it came about after these things, after the birth of Isaac, the promised child, born when Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90, huge miracle of God, after the treaty with Abimelech, Abraham going with plan A. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Okay, this is roll call, right? Abraham, present. Imagine being in a class where God is the instructor, and you're the only student. One-on-one instruction with God. That's intense, right? Which is the way God treats us, doesn't he? I mean, there are billions of students, but we get individualized instruction. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God wants us to get this. Abraham is present. He's shown up for class. He's seated at his desk. He's ready to learn. And the first thing on the lesson plan for that day is a test. And the word test in Hebrew has the idea of proving something. You know, students show up for class every day, but that doesn't mean that they're learning anything. Those of you that are teachers can attest to that, right? The lights are on, but nobody's home, right? And the test here is to prove that Abraham, what he's learned these last 40 years plus about putting his trust in God, living trusting God. Okay, let's be careful. God knows everything. So this test is not to prove to God that Abraham has faith, but to show Abraham and us and everybody else where Abraham has come to in his faith in God. Verse 2. He, God, said, take now your son, your only son, which son? Your only son, Ishmael. Sees Ishmael's not in the picture. We're talking about the son through whom God said he would fulfill his promises. Take your only son, whom you love, which son? The one you love, right? Your only beloved son, the one that you've bobbled on your knee and doted over and taken pride in. You've watched him grow up to be a young man. Take your only beloved son, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Verse 2 is the test question, and it's brutal. Take your son to Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Now, how do we work that out in our mind? I mean, Abraham isn't one of these people that kind of hears voices and then goes off and kills somebody. All right? Abraham is a man who is centered on God. And he's well in possession of his faculties. And wouldn't you struggle with this question just a tad? Why? You know, why would God ask me to do something like this? This is the son of promise. God, are you nuts? What am I supposed to tell Sarah when I come back without Isaac? I mean, there's no way I'm going to invent a story that's going to cover this one up. How am I supposed to find the strength to go through with all this? God, this can't be right. God, why should this be happening to me? God, you know, this can't be your will. I mean, you really don't want me to go through with this. You ever been there with God? We face really tough stuff in life. Hard choices, brutal circumstances, where we don't see what's going on, where we can't see our way through. And there's no logic behind what's happening to us. And God is saying, obey me, trust me. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. When? Early in the morning, immediate, complete obedience, and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place that God had told him. Verse 4. On the third day, which day? Third day. Okay, looking at the map, all right, Abraham is probably here in Beersheba, and the mountains of Moriah are up here. Could have taken 3 days to make that trip, could have taken 2 days to make that trip. Could have taken 4 days to make that trip, or more. Significant. Took 3 days. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we, who? We, plural, Abraham and Isaac, we will worship and return to you. That's not a Schwarzenegger moment, right?
I'll be back.
Right. It's we will be back. There's faith there. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Who's carrying the wood? Isaac, right? And he, Abraham, he took his hand in his hand the fire and the knife, the instruments of death. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, he, Isaac, said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Wouldn't a question like that just kind of rip you apart as a father, as a parent? Verse 8, Abraham said, God, who? God will provide for himself the lamb. The what? The lamb. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. No more questions from the son. It's an amazing trust that the son has in the father. Verse 8 is the bottom line of Abraham's heart attitude. What was going through Abraham's heart and his mind as he's obediently following through, taking God's test. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17 following says this, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He, Abraham, considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." See, that is plan A thinking. Plan A is what? Trust God. No matter what happens, trust God. Win or lose, joy or sorrow, comfort or pain, in sickness or in health, humiliation or exaltation, riches or poverty, whether it makes sense to us or not, to flow against the tide, live or die, even in death, trust God. God will fulfill His promises. And can you hear Abe on this one? God has given me promises. God has always come through in His promises. God has made promises that can only be fulfilled if Isaac lives. And even if Isaac dies, God will fulfill His promises. God is still God. If God has asked me to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, then the only answer has got to be that God can raise Isaac from the dead. For 3 days, traveling from Beersheba to Moriah, in Abraham's eyes, Isaac is already dead. And Abraham, he doesn't have a clue about Lazarus and the resurrection of Jesus and the others who have been raised from the dead, brought back from the dead. All he knows is that God will provide. God will take care of it. Go with plan A. You guys with the donkey, you stay here with the donkey. We will be back. Bottom line, Abraham's answer to the test question is faith, obedience. Trust God, go to Moriah with Isaac. Verses 9 to 14 are the answer. Try that together. The answer, God's answer to the test question. Verse 9. "Then they, father and son, came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." You know, it takes time to build an altar. You've got to find the stones and arrange the stones, kind of a raised pit on which to put Isaac on. And perhaps that was all done in silence and solemnity. What do you say? A time like that. And each piece of wood has been carried to the place of sacrifice by his son. Abraham has built many altars, and so he takes this wood that's been brought by his son, and he arranges it with expertise on this altar in order to make a fire that's going to burn that sacrifice, Isaac, completely. And then to bind Isaac, immovable, laid upon the altar. It's not hard to imagine that as Abraham is doing all this, he's thinking about how long he and Sarah waited to have a child. Images of Isaac's childhood playing through his mind. The future that they envisioned for him. With love, Abraham binds his son. Slay. In Hebrew is the word shachat. It means to execute, to slaughter. And you can almost hear the sound of the blade going through the flesh with that. Shachat. Clean, decisive. Abraham, he takes the knife, raises his hand, and he's ready to shachat his only beloved son. Grab this. There is no doubt that Abraham fully intends to go through with this. Verse 11. "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham! Abraham!'" There's urgency in that. "Abraham, stop!" And he said, "Here I am, present, taking the test." Notice the title, the angel, the messenger of the Lord. We saw that back in chapter 16, comparing to how it's used elsewhere in Scripture, and here later on in chapter 22, down in verse 16, the angel of the Lord speaks as God Himself. The title refers specifically to the pre-incarnate Jesus, who comes to speak God's message to Abraham. Verse 12, He, Jesus, said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God." God, fear meaning reverential trust. "Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." From who? From me, from God. Now what goes on in Las Vegas stays where? In Las Vegas. Man, that is a lie. Our actions demonstrate our heart. Which is the same in Las Vegas as it is in Merced and wherever. I mean, we can pretend here, but what we live out there, where faith meets the asphalt of life, our faith is demonstrated. And the sacrifice of Isaac is an outward demonstration proving Abraham's faith. Abraham demonstrated to himself and all of mankind, to us, his inner commitment and surrender to God by his willingness to lay his entire posterity in the promise of God, Isaac, on the altar. And God says, "You pass. You demonstrated your faith." Verse 13. "Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called that place, the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.'" Verse 13 is God's answer to the test. The ram, the male lamb offered by God in place of Isaac. The first mention of substitutionary sacrifice in Scripture. And where the exact spot is that God led Abraham to build this altar, we don't exactly know. But the hills of Moriah, we do know, are here. Jerusalem. Back one. Here we go. Land of Moriah, Jerusalem, which is the Mount of the Lord. Okay, and specifically, it's what we know as the Temple Mount, which looks like this. See the arrow pointing at what is really the Dome of the Rock, right in the middle of it. And traditionally, the exact location of the sacrifice is inside the Dome of the Rock, which looks like this. They've actually got the dirt uncovered in there. That's traditionally where it is. And here, at least in that general area, on the dome, on the Temple Mount, is where Abraham was led to sacrifice Isaac. It was the place where David set aside to build the first temple, the focal point of the entire Hebrew sacrificial system. The one place where it was acceptable to offer sacrifices to God, believing that He, God, would forgive the sins of His people. And it's the place that Abraham calls, "The Lord will provide." In Hebrew, it's the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees it. Or a little more modern, the God who's got it covered. And God's people would say from then on, they would say that on the Mount of the Lord, God's got it covered. Who's got it covered? God. Isaac is Abraham's only beloved son. And that image is used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to identify the Messiah, Jesus Christ. John writes in John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word, God the Son, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Matthew chapter 3, as Jesus is being baptized, as He's coming up out of the Jordan River, the sky opens. Remember this scene? The sky opens, the Holy Spirit descends, and the voice of God the Father declares of Jesus, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The ram foreshadows the whole Levitical sacrificial system, which finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist points to Jesus and declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we can go on with this. Isaac, the son, carries the wood. Jesus, the son, carries the cross. Isaac is offered up on the third day and yet is set free. God, through the resurrection of his son on the third day, proves the validity of our faith, assures us of what we hope for, demonstrates the reality of our forgiveness, our freedom from coming judgment and eternal death. Behind this scene, in this account, are intentional images that we need to grab onto to understand God's answer to the test, images that point directly to Jesus Christ on the cross. That Jesus himself is present at this sacrifice is not an accident. Behind all of what we see going on here is God's ultimate answer to every test question of our faith, whatever the struggle, whatever the question, the living in the flesh answer of why plan A is always, always the answer, why it works. God's got it covered. God. Jesus Christ. The bottom line of God's answer to the test is Jesus. Try this with me. God's answer is Jesus. God's answer is Jesus. Verses 15 to 19 focus on God's blessing. Try that together. God's blessing. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord, Jesus, called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn." See, God, Jesus, swearing by himself, promising to fulfill his, God's promise. "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now, God isn't some maniacal God who gets his jollies watching us jump through hoops, putting us through one test of faith after another, just because he gets his kicks out of watching us suffer down here. If there are purposes to these tests. And bottom line, this huge test of Abraham's faith, God once again renews his promise to Abraham. God blesses Abraham, rewards Abraham, reminds Abraham that trusting God isn't about trials. It's about God's blessing. It's about God's blessing. There are implications for us here. In the movie The Karate Kid, Daniel, this kid from New Jersey, right? Moves to Reseda with his mom. And Daniel doesn't fit in. He gets beat up every day. He's brutalized by these other kids who know karate. And as the movie goes on, right, Daniel runs into who? Mr. Miyagi, right? Not Miyagi, but Miyagi, all right? Who knows karate and decides and agrees to teach Daniel. And the agreement between them is that Mr. Miyagi will promise to teach Daniel karate if Daniel promises to learn. So whatever Mr. Miyagi says to do, Daniel is to do that without question. Just trust Mr. Miyagi, the teacher. Remember this? Okay? And so Daniel, day one, Daniel shows up and he spends his day washing and waxing Mr. Miyagi's cars. Right? Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. With the appropriate breathing going on at the same time, right? And day two, he learns what? Sand floor, right? And then day three, paint fence. All with the appropriate breathing. And day four, paint house, right? Side to side, paint house, right? On day four, Daniel finally loses it. 4 days of waxing cars and fixing up Mr. Miyagi's house. And when does he finally get to learn karate? Okay, the scene here you're going to look at is Mr. Miyagi's answer to Daniel's question, when do we get past all this wax on, wax off stuff, and I finally get to learn karate? All right, watch the scene. Isn't that cool when he finally starts to get it? You know, what was the purpose of this? Sacrificing Isaac wasn't Abraham's first test of faith. For perhaps 35 plus years, Abraham has been learning about trusting God. One purposeful lesson after another. Wax on, wax off. Preparing Abraham for what lies ahead. Future test, future blessing. And we don't always understand all of what God is doing in us and through us, but He is. And when we go with plan A, trust God, God works all that together to teach us to trust Him and to even to prepare us for greater tests of our faith that are coming, even to use us to serve Him according to His great purposes for His honor and glory, preparing us even for great blessing. God promises to teach us. What He requires is that we promise to learn. What He says, we do by faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, familiar words, therefore, because of everything that Paul has just written about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the means of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present here, Romans 12, 1. Present here in the original Greek, present is, it's a military term. It means to stand at attention before a superior officer. You imagine boot camp. Some of you can imagine this all too well. But stand at attention for inspection. Don't even think about moving. Present and accounted for. Ready to obey whatever the command. Present is our part of the agreement. Same idea in Genesis 22. Abraham, here I am. Present. And first, Paul writes, present your bodies. Some of us would say, you really sure God wants this body? Our bodies are the physical means through which everything else that we are, our heart, our mind, our soul, our bodies are the physical means through which everything we are is presented to God. And second, Paul says that our presentation is living. You know, a sacrificial animal is sliced and diced and barbecued. It's dead, but we live. And Paul's talking about our choice to honor God in the daily things of our lives. And third, our presentation is holy. That which is holy is dedicated. It's completely set apart only for God's use. Point being, to present ourselves requires a daily choice to commit all of who we are to God, laying ourselves without reservation on the altar before Him. To present ourselves, Paul writes, it's our spiritual service of worship. To present ourselves is in worshipful service of God is the only logical response to God's mercy. Verse 2 is the blessing part. And by faith, laying ourselves on the altar, do not be conformed to this world, which is totally focused on itself, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is what happens when we come to live by faith in God. God teaches us to live totally focused on Him so that you will prove, think test, same idea that when God tests Abraham to demonstrate where Abraham is in his faith, and here God's will is being examined, so that you will prove what the will of God is, that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Bottom line, the implications of Genesis 22 for us. When we are willing to lay it all on the line, to present ourselves on the altar by faith, to do whatever God requires of us, even if we don't see the picture, even if we don't grab the logic of it, by faith giving ourselves totally over to God, He will bless us. He will transform us. We will find that what He is doing in us and through us, it really is incredible. And it is acceptable. And it is perfect. And He will fulfill His promises to us. He will always pass the test. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you do not demand from us perfection. Because if we ever had to be perfect to come before you, we'd never make it. But you do ask us to be present, to show up. You do require of us that we lay ourselves on the altar and by faith trust you. God, that's difficult. And we thank you that you promise to us that you will work out your will in us and through us, and you will bless. And in fact, you have given to us, which is the greatest answer to every question that we have and every requirement of faith, and that is Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you've come and you're sitting there and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. You've never given God your life. You're still walking around the altar wondering what to do. And you may, if this is coming out of your heart this morning, you may say to God, God, I give you my life. I receive your answer, Jesus Christ. He died for me to set me free from my sin. I confess that I sin, that I'm not perfect. But I want to trust you with my life. And I give you my life this morning. And maybe you're sitting there and you've given your life to God. But you've got a ways to go, like all of us. You've got a ways to go in your faith. And so maybe these are our words this morning to God. God, take me through these lessons. And strengthen my faith. And when it's your time and in your way, show me what else it is that you desire for me to do. And I will look to you and I will trust you. Increase my faith. And thank you, God, for what you have done, are doing, and will do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.